on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our May 14th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. And this is an interesting market. And we are here to help you through these times that are changing. We're moving from a period of globalization to a period of deglobalization, regionalization, populist policies, however you want to call it. It is different. And it takes a certain perspective, especially looking at history, and not just history of the past 5-10 years. That's not history. That's just the cycle. But you have to look at longer cycles. And I think it's important to have that perspective in life and in investing. Because it's easy to get caught up in the here and now, the headlines. But the reality is these cycles are a fact of life, fact of being human, fact of being a part of human nature. And that's why you see the rise and fall of the fads of certain political leanings, shall we say. You know, Reagan kind of started the liberalization of regulation and really allowed global trade to flourish and companies to innovate and evolve. But that created a lot of winners and losers. And when you have, you know, 30, 40 years of money continue to flow to the high end of the wealthy, there's a natural backlash. And that's what we are seeing right now. And that manifests in various ways. One is typically inflation. And another is populist policies, which once again are typically inflationary. And so that's where we are today. And so that's why you can look at, you know, what happened in the aughts and think that's the market that we're dealing with. It's a different market. You know, that was really the, you know, pre-financial crisis. That was kind of the very laissez-faire, do whatever you want type of economy. And you saw where that took us. And really, since the financial crisis, we've been in a different evolving regime. And I think COVID kind of spun us into that next cycle completely. We were kind of sliding to it, right? Trump 1.0. And now we're into Trump 2.0. And obviously his path, whether you agree with it or not, the prescription, it is clearly the direction of the day. Right, more populist policies. And this is a phenomenon that's worldwide. And that's why it affects not just our economy, but the global economy. And that's what makes it a very contentious time, both domestically and abroad. And so we are here to help guide you through that time so that the headlines don't blind you from that bigger picture, because that bigger picture is likely the continued direction that we head towards, whether that's in a Trumpian way, or maybe there's somebody from the other side that also takes that same direction, but with different answers to the question, right? You know, one of the big reasons why I think Trump won is generally for the average person, he's asking a lot of the questions that they're looking to get answered. Now, is he the one to answer those questions correctly? I think it's another question, but I think it's clear the questions he's asking are the questions most people are asking. And so whether it's him or somebody else, the politicians that will move on will have a similar type of direction, right? A populist direction. So that's kind of the backdrop that you have to think about these markets. And that's what we're here to guide you through. Now, in just a bit, we will talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
This is Marcos Luna from Coalinga, California, and I'm calling about ticker symbol CPA. Coupa Holdings, that's my take on the airlines. I know this is a South American-based company, and I just wanted to know, is this thing a strong company for years to come? Can't wait for your answer. Thanks for all that you guys do. Have a good day.
All right, looking at Copa Holdings, it's a provider of airline passenger cargo services through its subsidiaries, and it is out of Panama, okay, and 82 destinations in the Americas, both North America, South America, and Central America, and the Caribbean, okay? Now, here's my issue. If I look at the stock chart, it's gone nowhere. Since 2012, it's trading at 90, mid 2012. End of 2012. It was trading about $100 per share. Now it's at 101. And if I look at earnings have gone up. But the stock's kind of gone nowhere. 6% yield. It's obviously operating in a more volatile environment. But the valuation is certainly cheap. So this would be definitely a good example of a name that you would want to... If you have confidence in the economies of Central South America and their political stability, then this would be the type of name that you'd want to own. Now, that's why it's paying a 6% yield. So I wouldn't be buying it because of that yield, because that yield can definitely ebb and flow. Let me look at the last dividend amount. Yeah, right now it's $1.60, but you know it was 82 cents. Last year. And it was back in 2012, it was $2.25. And then it dropped all the way down to 51 cents. So don't be buying this because of the dividend. Because that dividend clearly over the last 13 years has been very volatile. So it's not one of those names you just clip the coupons and you're good to go. But if you look at profitability, return on equity is around 26%. It's about where it's been for the last decade plus. So I like that. Nicely profitable. About $1 billion in free cash flow on a $5 billion market cap. Sorry, enterprise value. That's pretty good. And what is it doing with that cash flow? It is, pull this up here. It's buying back shares. I like that. So I'm fine with this. It's some debt, but about $1 billion on $4 billion market cap. That's nothing crazy, about 20% there. I actually kind of like it. Now, let me take a look at the chart here, pulling up a weekly chart, and it's just been consolidating. It's kind of neutral from a technical perspective. It's not bad. It's not great, but it is a good value, and this would be a way to play the potential rise of Central and South America. You know how I feel about Mexico. I do think Mexico has a good demographics and has some nice longer term secular tailwinds. And this has some exposure there. So if you're going to buy an airline company, this is probably the type of company I would buy. So CPA, I'm giving it a thumbs up. Now we're heading to a short break, and on the other side, we'll preview today's topics and talk about today's market activity. But please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
Hello, InvestTalk. This is Jose from New York, and I'm looking into buying a small position in Dollar Tree or Dollar General.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
Hi, InvestTalk. I was calling in with a question on the stock Nike.
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
Now, it is up into a little bit of resistance, so you probably want a little bit of consolidation here.
So this company does not capitalize itself with equity. It does not capitalize itself with debt.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Let's play a caller question from 888-99-SHARP.
This is James from Georgia. I was trying to call about ticker symbol SCCO.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
I appreciate the show, guys. Thank you.
888-99-CHART.
Recently, I had a somewhat unpleasant shopping experience. Not because the store was bad, but because the checkout system was very slow, and that was annoying. As I was waiting, I realized that I might have to run to the ATM to get cash, and that just made things worse. That was a frustrating experience. Then, about 2 weeks ago, I was at a restaurant that used Square. That transaction was quick and easy. The staff was able to focus on great service instead of fumbling with tech issues. So I decided to look into Square, and here's what I learned. Square's point-of-sale system is user-friendly and highly intuitive, plus Square provides the tools needed to manage behind-the-scenes work too. In fact, business owners can track sales, stay on top of inventory, and get a better understanding of their customers, all in the same place. The reporting features are especially helpful when trying to make sense of what's working and where to focus one's time. Square supports all major credit cards and payment methods, including contactless options like Apple Pay and Google Pay. So checkout is fast and easy. If you happen to be a business owner, Square makes it simple to set up an online store in just a few minutes. So Square is perfect for those wanting to expand beyond brick and mortar. Square is designed for businesses at every stage, whether they are just getting started or looking to grow. It delivers the tools to do both. Square keeps up, so you don't have to slow down. Get everything you need to run and grow your business without any long-term commitments. And why wait? Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/invest. That's square.com/go/invest. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. And our main focus point is about shareholder yield. And when investors have shareholder yield data, they can see the big picture and learn a smarter way to spot winning stocks. So we'll dig into what that means and how you can apply it to your investment philosophy. Also, we're going to dig into some structural changes that you're seeing in markets and economies. And this is from a writing by Mohamed El-Arian, one of my favorites, market commentators. So we're going to borrow some of his thoughts and discuss them a little bit more. And then Doge. Doge is, looks like Elon is leaving government. And the big question is, what has he accomplished? And we'll dig into that, because ultimately, whether you agree with what he's cutting, what he wants to cut, what he's trying to cut, whatever, how this, you know, his success really does impact the at least short-term and long-term trends in the economy, right? We know that government spending is a big part of GDP. And so if he cuts too much, obviously that's a giant drag on GDP, but that does help long-term fiscal trajectory, which has an impact on, for example, the bond market. So we'll hopefully dig into that data a little bit more and kind of try to dig through the headlines, right? Get past the headlines, which can be very polarizing, and focus on really what's happened. Okay. So we'll dig into that. We also have voice bank questions ready to play and some questions that came in via the YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. Now let's take a look at the market today. And it was a mixed day. Let's just say that. But if you look underneath the surface, it was broadly mildly negative. The Dow was down 89 points. The S&P was up 6 points, and the NASDAQ was up 121 points, about a little over 0.5%. But really, the S&P and the NASDAQ were dragged up by three names: Tesla up 4%, Nvidia up 4%, Google up nearly 4.3%, and 3.66%. Everything else was actually kind of middling to negative. Definitely a lot of red out of the healthcare space. You continue to see weakness on names like Eli Lilly and AbbVie and Merck and Thermo Fisher and Danaher and just anything in the healthcare space. Amgen down 3%. A lot of those names all down 3% on the day. And I've said this for a while. You don't want to be buying much of the farm in the pharma space because you don't know what's going to happen with pricing. Obviously, there's pressure now to lower prescription drug pricing here in America, which I think it was something like 70% of the revenue comes from America. And so this is a disruption of that sector as a whole. And it was just never good risk versus reward. So we have, I think we have, our healthcare exposure is limited to one medical device company and then one healthcare distribution company where they, you know, they you buy, you know, doctor's office buys products, needles and gauze and things like that from this company. And that's about it. You know, we didn't really we don't have any pharma exposure. And this is the reason why. Now, other parts of the market, you definitely had retail down a little bit. Energy was, let's see, where was energy? Energy was mildly negative. Industrials were mildly negative. And we're into some major resistance on the market. And we're kind of at an inflection point here. You have recaptured the 100-day moving average on all the major indices. You're into resistance here on the S&P around 5,900, 5,900. And we close, what do we close? 5,892 on the S&P today. And you are in OPEX. So the last couple of days, you get some gamma hedging unwind, most likely tomorrow and the next day. We have a lot of economic news from consumer sentiment to PPI, which is the leading indicator for CPI. You also have unemployment claims tomorrow. So a lot of economic news tomorrow and Friday, and a lot of potential fireworks, potentially in both directions. Now, we could chop here in this range for a while, and the market would signal everything's okay. Or you reverse, you get back below that 100-day moving average, and the downtrend is on. So I do think we're in this very, between now and the end of the month, a very interesting period to kind of have the market prove it one way or the other, both positively and negatively. Now, we're heading into a break, but I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my main focus point today is about shareholder yield. What is shareholder yield? Now, some people might call it a total payout. They might call it total yield, but it's very simple. It's the net buyback yield. So how much money these companies are spending on buying back shares plus their dividend yield. Okay. So these are the two primary ways that companies return cash flow to shareholders. Now, many argue that buybacks are less direct, but more tax efficient. And dividends go directly to you, but they are not tax efficient because you pay taxes as the shareholder, if especially if it's in a taxable account. And everyone knows about dividends. Everyone focuses on dividends, but it's not the only, it's not the end all be all. I talk about this all the time. It's part of the picture. And for some, it might be more important than others, but it should never, ever, ever be the only part of the picture that you look at. Now, when companies initiate a dividend, it opens them up to more buyers of their shares. So that's why a lot of them will pay some dividend, tends to be a low dividend, and a very comfortable dividend. And the additional cash flow above that dividend payout, they use to buy back shares. That's been a common theme of companies, is to keep those dividend yields low, dividend payouts low. Because you don't want to be the leader of the company that cuts the dividend. It looks bad. It feels bad. And usually the stock falls because just as paying out a dividend suddenly opens you up to more shareholders, more types of investors, Getting rid of the dividend and eliminating it completely shuts those investors out, and there's forced selling, and then the stock plummets. So let's talk about the pros and cons of both. Now, one drawback of dividends is double taxation, meaning the company will go and they earn money and they pay taxes on profits. And then they go and pay a dividend out of those profits to you, and you pay taxes on those profits as well. That is what we call double taxation. Now, when a company instead takes that cash flow and they buy back shares, there's no tax event there, except for recently there's the 1% buyback tax. Still pretty small, but that was in 2022 when it was implemented. Still small, much less than whatever tax you're going to pay on your dividends if it's in a taxable account. But generally, there's not really tax for buying back shares outside of that 1%. And you get to choose when you take that taxable hit by selling those shares that you own. So it's more controlled from a tax perspective. Now, another aspect of buying back shares that's important is the flexibility. I talked about you don't want to be the leader that cuts the dividend or eliminates the dividend, but you don't have that same stigma when maybe you lower your amount of shares you're buying back. Maybe you eliminate it completely and say that we're not continuing with our buyback plan. And a lot of times the board will approve a buyback figure, but it's not, you don't have to do it every quarter, right? You don't have to, if shares are too expensive, maybe you don't buy back any shares that quarter. And you wait until you get a better price. So it allows companies to deploy cash more strategically. Maybe your business is doing fine, but sentiment in the equity markets is just bad. And generally people are selling stocks and suddenly your stock is cheap. And now you're able to use your cash flow to go buy back shares, up your amount of buybacks versus upping a dividend. Now, research shows that looking at total yield or shareholder yield actually gives you a better risk-adjusted return over the long term. It's better than quality investing. It's better than investing based on growth. It only lags momentum as a factor premium. And what's interesting here is with all the money that is in high dividend ETFs, there's only about $2.9 billion in about 8 different shareholder yield focused ETFs. There's 8 out there. Now, what's the downside of looking at this? Well, just focusing on dividend or shareholder yield can ignore value or can ignore problems with the business. Right? Just because companies are buying back shares doesn't mean that's the right way to allocate their capital. And so it can still expose you to value traps, just like chasing big dividends can. Then there's turnover. So because the buybacks vary, you may be chasing a company that upped its dividend or upped its buybacks because times were good, but it's a cyclical business and those buybacks could be eliminated. So turnover is a risk here as well. And then concentration, right? When you're just focusing on additional checkbox, which is shareholder yield, combining dividend and buybacks, you narrow your opportunity set as well. So it's something definitely to look at, but as usual, it's not the end all be all. Now we're heading into a break. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
I would like to get your take on waste management stock, WM, and looking to get some exposure in the industrial space. I was wondering, A, what you thought of the company as a long-term hold, and B, if you thought it was a a favorable outlook, what you thought a possible entry point would be. Thank you.
All right. Looking at waste management, most people know what waste management is. It's one of the largest waste collection companies in the world, both collection, disposal, and recycling service here in the United States and in Canada. About $89 billion market cap. They do have a good amount of debt on their balance sheet, about $24 billion. Okay. And you have a return equity around 34%. So that's nice profitability, although it does look like that profitability is rolling over just a bit. They buy back shares, although those buybacks have slowed down. Free cash flow, about $1.8 billion. That means that the free cash flow yield, frankly, not that good, only about 1.5% from an enterprise value perspective. Enterprise value to EBITDA around 17.5. Historically, that is on the high end of the range that it's traded at over its life ever. Okay. So, you know, while I like the business, I love the profitability, I love the consistency of the business, I just think it's too expensive. And growth is certainly slow. This year, earnings are supposed to be only up 6%. And last quarter earnings fell 5%. The quarter before that, earnings fell 2%. So clearly they're having some margin compression problems. And if you look at the chart on a weekly basis, it is starting to show some momentum waning. So I would be very, very patient on waste management. It absolutely should be on your watch list. It's just a bit expensive compared to the market, as well as, most importantly, compared to itself and how it historically trades. So I would be looking for a pullback at least to 180. Right now, it's trading at about 222. So I think there's about a 20% downside to this name before it gets reasonable from a valuation perspective. So I'm passing on waste management for now, but absolutely keeping it on my watch list. Now, we get questions submitted over on our YouTube channel, and Poochadam, I love that name, Poochadam, says, I was wondering if you could take a look at Carl Zeiss Medics, CZMWY. Let me take a look at this. CZMWY. And pull this back up. I'm in the field and love their products. I think they're incredible for research, especially their X-ray imaging techniques. Curious about any insights from the business end. Don't own any, but want to see if it's a good long-term investment. All right, Carl Zeiss. This is one of the largest medical technology companies in the world. It has two segments, ophthalmic, is that how you say it? Ophthalmic devices and microsurgery. All right, 75% of sales in 2022 were on refractive laser and surgical devices. So you're thinking the LASIK space, one of the best. I think I spent about $4,000 back in, this is about 15 years ago. I had LASIK, best money I've ever spent. So certainly love their products, but this stock has declined pretty considerably from its all-time high, which is, let me pull this up here. I have so many systems. This is all-time high, around $240 per share back in 2021. It's pulled back to $69. So the technicals are not great. They're definitely not great. But if you look at the business, very little debt, pretty good cash flow, about $239 million in free cash flow. And that's stayed relatively consistent. And let's see, are they buying back shares? No, they just started to buy back shares a little bit. Modest dividend, only about 1% dividend yield. Overall, I like the business at their end. I like the balance sheet. I like the cash flow. I worry about the chart, right? And the chart needs to improve. The technicals need to get a bit better. But overall, if you're looking from a long-term perspective, I kind of like it. I kind of like this play. That's Carl Zeiss Medics. CZMWY is the symbol. Very, very interesting name. All right, let's go talk to Dan. And he's in Walnut Creek looking at Agnico Eagle.
Yeah, and Franco Nevada, FNV.
Okay. Obviously, these are...
So my question...
Good.
Go ahead.
No, what's your question?
Okay. So, you know, they've been doing really well for me. And recently, with the stock market you know, kind of recovering. They've been going down since, I think, about the 6th of May. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that, you know, people are using these stocks, gold-related stocks, as like a hedge for the uncertainty of the market. And maybe that's why they're going down now. People are getting out and buying individual stocks.
Well, part of it was overbought. I said this a few weeks ago. I said I had callers on gold. And I said there was a cover of Barron's talking about gold. That's usually the death knell, at least in the short term. And that's definitely been the case here. You know, it's pulled back. But overall, if you look at GLD or GDX, the gold miners, they're still in an uptrend. They're holding all the major moving averages. And this just pulled back to pretty good support here in these around these levels. Now, will the support ultimately hold? We shall see. But this is the nature of investing in the miners. They are volatile. They will go up 30% and fall back 20% in short order. And you've seen this with Agnico Eagle, right? It peaked out around 126. Now we're at about 105 or so. That is normal volatility. You look at the broader trends are still positive. It's still making higher highs and higher lows. This is called owning commodity names. So yeah, nothing to worry about right now. And it is into some support.
Great. Thanks very much, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for the call. 8899-CHART, 8899-242-78. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, let's talk a little bit about a recent piece. This is from Mohamed El Arian, one of my favorite market commentators. And it kind of echoes what I said at the top of the show in many ways, but he, as usual, says it a bit better than me. And what he talked about how was that we've had a wide volatility in market sentiment around the U.S. economy in just a short period of time. So he talked about how American exceptionalism was all the rage just in January at the World Economic Forum. And then April, we had the fragmentation of the global order and the mood on the U.S. economy soured considerably. Now we've had a rebound in equities. The trade war, at least the narrative, is behind us, even though, you know, we're still dealing with 30% tariffs and 10% tariffs everywhere else. And, you know, there's still a relatively elevated level of tariffs that, but most people are not really talking about. The narrative is behind us. So you had that volatility of the narrative. You had the VIX with a wild roller coaster. And the yield, which I think are underappreciated, the yields on the 10-year and the 30-year, moving wildly without any Fed move, right? The Fed has not made any changes this year, at least their policy rate. Then a little changes to the QT, right? Quantitative tightening at the margin, but nothing dramatic. You've seen the dollar reverse, heading to a downtrend, and the normal correlation between a strong dollar and lower treasury yields, that is kind of broken. Now, part of this is policy volatility, and that's creating wild swings in consensus narratives. But what's really happening under the surface is a shift in global economic structures. And the failure of individual companies, this is what he says, the failure of individual companies to grow in a consistently strong, inclusive, and sustainable manner has increasingly pulled the rug from under traditional economic management tools. I love that quote. That the growth that we've had for many decades has not really been inclusive. And that you have to think about the direction the global economy is going as a new direction. We're not going back to the old normal. And we're venturing into more uncertain territory. And that just comes with the territory of investing. economies shift, economies go in cycles, markets go in cycles. And the reliability of U.S. financial markets as the place to go for savings is no longer there. It's not the go-to anymore, at least not as much as it was before. So it's important to have this perspective and to adjust your thinking accordingly. We talk about this all the time, about how we're not here to give you a tip on a stock. We're here to help you understand principles that will guide good decisions. And part of it is not using emotions. But part of it also is to correctly assess the reality on the ground. And the reality on the ground is seeing through the headlines, yes, but also stepping back from the headlines and understanding the world around you that the headlines exist in. That this is a feature of the new paradigm that really was ushered in, like I said at the beginning of the show, starting with the financial crisis, but accelerating with COVID. And so hoping for calm is not a strategy. Understanding that this moment is something that requires corrective action from governments, from companies, from international leaders to solve a problem that has been building for many decades. And whether you love President Trump or not is irrelevant. But what you have to understand is that this is not just an American phenomenon, it is a global phenomenon. Let's go take a live call from Bill in Northern California looking at EQIX.
Could I ask you a quick question before that?
Sure.
You cover that stock is about your, you know, you mentioned your watch list. So I'm just curious what kind of watch list you have, whether you have like separate watch lists or just one general watch list that everything that you are looking at is in, and how do you categorize them? How many stocks do you have in your watch list or lists altogether?
Well, it's sector watch lists, and it's different between sectors. You know, there's some sectors only a handful, other sectors there's 30, 40 names that are very interesting and high quality. So, and then, you know, it depends on what weighting we want within a particular sector. And then we will go in and do we need more, a higher weighting? Do we add to current positions or do we find a new one? And we dig back into that watch list and try to figure out which one is has the best setup over the, you know, the medium to long term. So that's kind of how we set up our watch list.
So how many stocks in your watch list altogether, in total, would you say?
Oh, geez, because like I said, it varies between sectors, 11 sectors, probably combined. I haven't counted them as of late, but you know, definitely over 100, probably between 100 and 200, somewhere in that range. I can't speak to exactly the number.
That's all I was asking. Thank you.
No problem.
Regarding Equinix, I have this position. In the last several years, I've bought it, you know, much lower and sold it. And then it went back down and I bought more. I have a medium, small to medium position, I would say, for my portfolio. It seems like a dividend growth. You know, they've raised their dividend consistently. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody on CNBC, I forget what his position was, older guy talking about in his funds or whatever, they were like shorting it as a hedge because of this sector of REIT type of data banks is like maybe not going to do as well in the future when these new AI things come up or something. But it seemed to me like a pretty good long-term growth story, and that's how I have it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some tailwinds. There's some challenges going forward with AI, whether it's been over invested in or not. But in general, right, the good thing about Equinix is their revenues continue to go up and profits continue to go up, or funds from operation, because they're a REIT. So I have no problem with it, but it's certainly expensive compared to most other REITs. Now we're heading to our final break. Get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
'25 rolls on, and you might have some fresh questions for Justin or Luke. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Now let me tell you about the new InvestTalk store. I invite you to make it your destination for exclusive merch and discover apparel and accessories that celebrate your financial journey. Just visit InvestTalkStore.com. Now, let's go take a question from YouTube. Pull this up here. It says, Raptor 318, says, "Hi, Justin and Luke, Peter from New York, longtime listener, and value your frank opinion about stocks, the market, and most importantly, the proper mindset to be a rational investor. I'd like to know what your opinion is about Dutch Bros as an investment. I do not own the stock and would like to see if it's a good stock to add to my portfolio. And at what entry price, I definitely see it as very expensive, but they do have an aggressive expansion plan." All right, let's go look at Dutch Bros. I believe the symbol, he didn't list it, but I believe it's BROS. Yep, there we go. BROS is the symbol. And this is a company that operates 982 drive-through coffee shops in 18 states in the United States. And so it's earned 59 cents this year, 81 cents next year. Last quarter, revenues were up 29% and earnings were up 56%. But it's trading at $72 per share. So even based on next year's earnings, it's nearly 100 forward-looking multiple, P multiple. That is quite expensive. Price sales ratio is 6. Enterprise value to EBITDA is at 43. Very expensive. The good thing is they do have a lot. They have a good balance sheet, pretty much no debt. But what are they doing? Is they're issuing a ton of shares. And their free cash flow, only $32 million. Now you could say, hey, it's positive now after being negative. They're putting the money into growth. And I certainly understand that to a degree. I've seen this picture though before where you find a popular model for a restaurant. And it might be new, it might be different, it might be cool, it might be something that fills a need. And you get investments, you go public, like Dutch Bros did recently, and you put all of that money into new products or new stores, excuse me. But they overgrow. They grow too fast. They cannibalize themselves. They put stores in places that don't make sense. And eventually, there's too much misallocation of capital and things collapse. My most favorite example of this, there was one in the 90s. It was called Boston Market. It was very popular here in California. There's still some around, but it's much smaller than it was. But it was really popular in the late 90s. And that was their problem. They grew too fast. And I think you're going to have the same problem with Dutch Bros. And I wouldn't be buying it at these valuations. Like I said, forward-looking multiples of 100 typically are hard to grow into. Now, if I'm looking at a chart, then an uptrend. It's trending nicely positive. So as a momentum play, sure. But I find it difficult to believe that they're going to be able to grow into a $9 billion valuation. The $9 billion valuation puts their free cash flow yield at 0.3%. And they're issuing more shares. They're using the current price as a piggy bank to go and get more cash flow to spend on expansion. And so if you look at cash from operations, it has been improving. Let me take a look here. But it also is leveling out. So that worries me a bit as well. So I like the concept, but it's one of those names that you certainly want to be patient on. And I wouldn't be buying at these valuations unless it's just a pure momentum play. Well, that about does it for this episode of Invest Talk. Appreciate you all tuning in. And I thank you for listening and telling your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And if today's show made you think about your own financial picture, your investments, taxes, retirement, and whether it's all really working together, I encourage you to head over to our website and click on the portfolio review button. Go to investtalk.com and we can help bring clarity and confidence to your situation. We can schedule a portfolio review call, go over your goals and concerns, and figure out what direction you should head in. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.